Today's Walking Dead Feedback Show is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, and they've got some useful tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Frankly, there's a few cars in the Walking Dead universe that could probably just use olive oil all over the exterior. I mean, everything would probably help at this point. Then you could also take the excess weight out of your car to improve the gas mileage. That's important. Or you could also use a keychain remote under your chin to increase its range. Here's another tip for you. True Car is also going to help you get a used car too. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. That sounds better. Whether you buy a new or used car. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid so you know if they're getting a good deal before you're buying. And then you're more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead mid-season premiere is over, but we're just getting started answering your feedback here on our Walking Dead Feedback Show. And now, here are the two guys whose mercy is always greater than their rest. I'm Rob Cesarino here with Josh Wigler. Crossover joke, Josh.
Than our rest?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Hope you guys are listening to our Game of Thrones rewatch podcast.
And then if not, you don't deserve our crossover jokes.
Fair enough. Oh, my God. I am going to honor that joke for the rest of my life. That is my solemn pledge to you.
Okay.
That is my solemn pledge to you guys.
So we talked the other day. I thought we had a very fun preview preseason podcast. And then, of course, I got together with Jessica after the episode on Monday, one day late because of all of the Celebrity Big Brother festivities. But now here we are trying to get back on the regular schedule, record this on Wednesday afternoon as we get ready for the impending episode number 10 of The Walking Dead season 8 with Josh Wigler. Josh, how are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I feel like I've got a fair amount of closure. You know, The Walking Dead really made quite the meal out of the departure of one Carl Grimes. Really
yeah.
gave that young Chandler Riggs a lot of room to shine. Keep shining. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. You know, it's sad. Sad to lose the character. Sadder than I expected to be, I will say.
Yeah. Well, look, he got a great send-off. We should all be so lucky to get that kind of send-off. And
where do you think this ranks in terms of, like, the episodes that are devoted to a specific character's death? Like, I'm talking about, like, whether it's like someone is, like, you know, dying throughout the whole episode or the whole episode is, like, building towards somebody's death. Should we try and do this on the fly? Is this a worthy exercise of, like, at least, like, ranking some of the top ones?
Why don't you start spitting out names and let's talk about whether it was better or worse.
So there's I think one of the most classic recent examples that would be similar in tone to the Carl death is probably the Tyrese death, I would say.
Oh, interesting.
That's like the midpoint of season 5 where he gets bit on the arm and then he starts hallucinating all sorts of stuff and he kind of gets to have, like, a goodbye to his humanity there. Like, I feel like this is, you know, this episode was much more grounded in reality than that one, but I felt like just the show giving a send off to a character in, like, kind of this really dedicated emotional way, I felt like Carl's send off had some shades of Tyrese's.
Well, I mean, the most recent one is probably the Sasha one, which closed out last season, where we're sort of like seeing you know, her on her way to meet her death, and she's kind of going out on her terms. But probably tonally, the one for me that I think that this is the most similar to, I have to say, Blue Sky Bob, Josh. I mean, think about it. He was like, you know, he had something similar. And again, it was like he had been bit. And it was like that he was hiding in. And he had this, like, different worldview. I think he might have been Blue Sky Bob for a little bit before that. But, you know, he was, like, talking up Sasha and talking about it. Like, hey, like, everything's cool. Everything's great. Yeah. I met you. And so he went out on a similar high note to Carl Grimes.
Yeah, no, that's a good comparison as well. At least it wasn't like, I don't know, one of those incredibly gnarly send-offs. Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Noah death episode, which is, like, the grisliest exit episode, you know, maybe other than, like, what happened to Glenn and Abraham, which was super brutal. I thought it was handled pretty classily. Like, I think that the way that they allowed Carl to have a lot of dignity in his final moments and to, you know, spout out a lot of wisdom to a lot of these different characters, especially his dad. Curious to see how Rick reacts to everything that Carl said to him. Also cool to find out like what these flash forwards are all about, like getting some more context on that, where, you know, we were wondering, like, is the old man bearded Rick, is that you know, a vision of the future, is that something from the comics potentially? And Carl just says like, nope, this is my dream for you, Daddy O. This is what I envision for the future of Alexandria. And so what we've been treated to throughout the season has just been like this idea of Carl's. And you got to wonder by the end of the episode, like, is Rick carrying the vision? Like, is that Rick imagining Negan, or was that Carl imagining Negan? So there's still some questions there, but it's nice to have like a little bit more clarity.
Yes. Did Farmer Carl plant that idea in Rick's fertile brain?
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's a distinct possibility. There's, you know, there's a lot of different possible ways that that whole thing could shake out. Alarming final image of the episode, of course, with that final shot of Rick Grimes potentially having been shot. So yeah. Who knows where the rest of the season's going, but we're off to the races. We're off and running. And oh my God, all the Morgan stuff was so gross.
Yeah.
It's really, get that man to a doctor or at least to another show. Like, that guy is, he's really having a hard time.
Yeah. It could be a very gory season of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think so. Oh my God. Yeah. He's gonna, yeah. These guys, Madison, watch out. You've got a real maniac coming into your life soon.
Okay. So we got some questions from the listeners of the podcast, twd@postshowrecaps.com. That's how people were sending questions. And we'll also peruse through the comments after every episode on postshowrecaps.com. So we try to look all over the place for what you guys are talking about. And one of the most popular topics of conversation, of course, after this episode has been about the timelines, Josh. So let me start off with Podrick Racer, who wants to posit an alternate theory for Bleary-Eyed Rick. Now, are you buying that Bleary-Eyed Rick is the same Rick as final scene in the episode Rick? Do you think, are those one and the same?
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes the most sense. I think, like, you know, with like the way that like the light has been shining on his face, that's pretty consistent with the image that we've seen of Bleary-Eyed Rick. And the guy that we see, you know, leaning against the tree at the end of the episode, there's all this stained glass that's hanging from the trees. So I'm not questioning that too much. I'm curious if there's an alternate theory.
Yeah, well, I thought that Bleary-Eyed Rick might have been Shovel Rick. I'm not sure if we saw the image of Rick digging the grave in the first half of season 8, but I feel like we did.
I got to imagine that we're probably going to Rick's probably going to be Red-Eyed Rick for the rest of the season. Mm. You know, I think that we're going to be dealing with a very, very upset individual here moving forward. So I think that you could pick of the litter in terms of where that image is exactly coming from.
Right.
I expect that Andrew Lincoln is going to be getting a lot of tears out over the course of the remaining episodes of season 8.
Josh, I liked one of the theories that you were telling me about the ultimate answer for why does Rick have such a weird beard in the future timeline that we kept seeing. And a lot of people had that same question. And what you had said was that, you see, Carl Grimes has only a second grade education. He's not really, you know, a smart person. So that's why in his future vision that he projects, he doesn't really know what an older person's beard looks like.
Right. He's like, yeah, in 2 years, you're going to be like a grandpa.
He can't do math because he stopped going to school when he was like 8.
You're going to be a grandfather and Judith is only going to be a year older and a lot is going to have changed for you. Yeah. Yeah. Just like that warped perception of what adults look like from a kid's perspective. I mean, it's understandable that Carl has this all messed up considering he's grown 100 feet in like a span of like 3 years. He doesn't know. His own body has changed so rapidly.
He doesn't know. That's why his penmanship is so bad in all the letters too.
really, you know, got to take a moment to appreciate the fact that Carl, you know, is on his way out. He's very, very sick. He knows that he basically has one day left on Earth if he's lucky. And he spends so much of that day just accomplishing so much. He gets to spend a lot of time with Judith. He gets to do like the handprint thing. And he writes like a novel to every single person in his life. And he saves everybody in Alexandria from getting blown apart by the Saviors. That kid is that was a remarkable final day. Like, that's like the I think forget like the best death episode for any of these characters. I think like the single best, like most accomplished day of any character in Walking Dead history.
I know, but you were also critical when we were talking about Carl Grimes that you thought he made a big mistake when he gave half of his Big Cat bar to Sadiq, and you said that if it's your last day, you should get the whole Big Cat bar, right?
Eat the whole Big Cat bar. I think that's right. I think like at that point you say to Sadiq, like, hey, I haven't told anybody this yet. Please keep it on the DL, trying not to freak anybody out. I'm definitely dying, and this is essentially my last meal. And I feel like I don't know if you'll be able to find a Big Cat bar somewhere
else. I should
get
all the candy today.
But I think I get the candy today. Yeah, like, I saved your life. I'm kind of dying because I saved your life.
Yeah.
I think you can give me your half of the Big Cat bar. To which Sadiq responds, no. And then he just eats it anyway.
Give me a break. No, it's mine. Okay. So let's
I mean, if it was a Twix, it's another story altogether, but
yeah.
Well, like cracking the Big Cat in half, like that requires actually some effort.
Meow.
Meow indeed.
Okay. Patrick Racer wants to talk about bleary-eyed Rick and his alternate theory. Why do you think that Rick is bleary-eyed in those flash forwards? While it is possible it's because of the death of somebody else close to him, like Judith or Michonne, I think that the show is going to go another way with it. Maybe Rick is guilty over the death and destruction that he has led, or maybe he's relieved when the war ends and brings peace to the realm without killing all the Saviors. What do you think? Do you think that it could be some sort of a my God, what have I done type situation for bleary-eyed Rick, as opposed to he's lost somebody?
So, you know, the thing that he says against the tree, he says, my mercy prevails over my wrath. So, like, is that something over my wrath? Yeah. Is this something that he has done? Is it something he's aspiring for? Like, is the next wave of The Walking Dead for Rick Grimes going to be a struggle to get to where Carl wanted him to be? Is that like what it's going to be? Or is he going to hop to Carl's vision of the future immediately? I would bet that it's going to take him a little bit of work. That just feels like the Rick Grimes way. He's in the middle of this war, and we've got 7 episodes still to go in this season, that I think to just have him immediately feel like he's abandoning his vengeance, that feels like, I don't know, just in terms of like the story economy, I don't think that we can move that fast just with how many episodes that there are left. But one of the things that I am wondering is, so we know that Morgan is leaving the show, right? We know that he's going to Fear the Walking Dead by the end of the season. He's going to be leaving this show. We know that he's been going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, he is, you know, he's really lost his mind. He would definitely have eaten the whole Big Cat by himself, and he would have probably killed anybody who attempted to split it with him. He has gone nuclear. He killed so many people in so many graphic ways in this episode, and even Gavin, as Gavin is on his way out the door, he's like, you're nuts! You're nuts, Morgan! You're a crazy person. And like, he's still like, even after like Carol and Ezekiel are kind of talking sense into Morgan, or trying to, in that final moment, he's gonna kill Gavin. And then, you know, the little kid, I think Henry is his name, right?
Yeah.
He kills Gavin instead, and the body drops and the little boy is revealed, and that's the moment where Morgan finally looks like, that's like his like you know, like the star in Mario, like, has just faded, right? Like, he's been invincible and in this like crazy trance for the last like several beats of the action. And now this man dies because a kid who he had been training kills him. And I feel like that brings him back to Earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is, if you know that Morgan is leaving Fear the Walking for, if you know Morgan's leaving Walking Dead for Fear the Walking Dead, and if you know that Morgan and Rick are the first two characters that we ever saw on this show together, then you got to imagine that he's not going to leave this show without at least one more really meaningful interaction with Rick, is my instinct. And I wonder if, like, Morgan, not that he's like cured, But if he's like woke to how crazy he's been over the past several episodes now, like if he's starting to realize like, yikes, that was bad. That was really bad. Maybe that's part of why, like, I can't stay here. I got to go. I got to get myself out of here. And if he's going to be able to be one of the people who really convinces Rick that you got to let your mercy prevail over your wrath, like you know, gives him a little bit of that like Eastman Aikido love on his way out the door. So that's kind of the pet theory that I'm working with right now.
So that's from Rick to Morgan. You think that Rick is the one that gets Morgan back, or you think that Morgan gets Rick back on track? See, I would see it the other way around. I wonder if that maybe we see that Rick is the one to get Morgan back on track, because I think that you are onto something here, that I can't imagine like crazy clear Morgan is going to be the centerpiece of Fear the Walking Dead, whereas I feel like
feels weird.
I feel like that the more grounded, centered, you know, a moral conscience Morgan, I think that that's the character that has more depth, that you can actually tell stories around. I think that that's more likely to be that guy. And again, we've seen that character on the road, like looking and wandering for stuff. So, I mean, I think that that does make some sense. But I think that for Rick, his worldview is not that we need to stop fighting, but, you know, how do I end this war? Whereas I think that his view going into the war was, we need to kill everybody. No savior can live. I need to kill Negan. I need to be the one. Whereas how do we get to some sort of, you know, ending where both sides can live, where as opposed to not surrender,
right,
but not just like fully conquering the saviors?
The thing that leads me to think that Rick is going to be feeling a little revengeful moving forward. Are we good to talk like trailers, like the trailers for the next episode, or do we not?
I don't think you saw the trailer for the next episode.
So in the trailer for the next episode, and if you don't like to hear this stuff, just skip ahead a little bit. There's like a lot going on in the trailer. It's very action packed. Like there's some fighting in Alexandria with Rick and Michonne, it looks like. And then there's like a radio thing going on, like a radio conversation between Negan and Rick, where like Negan's talking about like who's going to die next, and Rick goes, "You are." So I feel like, you know, that to me states that like at least Negan is still hot and in Rick's sights for the foreseeable future. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm really curious to see what Rick's genuine reaction to the Carl stuff is going to be. I think ultimately he is going to come around to his son's view of the world. I just think with 7 episodes still to go in this back half of the season, I think that they're not going to want to like rush to that place right away.
Okay, let me give you another email we got from one of our listeners, Jim, and he writes for Desert Exposure Magazine. And
ooh, cool.
Jim writes, so after Rick spares Negan, he and Michonne walk off into the sunset, okay? Rick's act of mercy causes Negan's heart to grow like the Grinch's and becomes the new lead on the show, saving AMC a ton of bucks. I'm not sure how that saves AMC money if Negan is one of the leads of the show. But let me go further out on a limb. The series ends with Rick coming out of his coma, and it was all a dream.
No.
And he learns that there was no place like home, and the Scarecrow was always his favorite. So do you think...
It was all a dream!
Yes. Do you think that Rick somehow sparing Negan could really end up for Negan being a thing that ends up like, oh my God, I've been so wrong all this time. I feel like such a fool.
I feel like with Negan, there have been moments where the show has, I think, tried to get you, if not on board with Negan's vision, then to at least understand where he's coming from. Like that whole episode with him and Father Gabriel in the front half of this season, where he's explaining why we're called the saviors and why we do what we do. And like in his mind, he really is, if not altruistic, then at least he feels like he is doing the thing that is going to keep humanity alive in this apocalyptic world. So is there an opportunity to change that guy's worldview towards something a little more conventionally good? Maybe. But I also think like this is the problem for me with the Negan characters. Like, hard to forget that this dude bashed Glenn's brains in. hard to forget that he just completely slaughtered Abraham in front of all of these people and killed these two fan favorite characters in such gruesome fashion that I'm always going to have a really hard time with The Walking Dead if they ever really try to make Negan a fully sympathetic character. That said, it was a really compelling moment on the show when you have that still like sort of like glowy, you know, future vision of Judith running up to a guy and it's Negan and he seems like fully integrated into Alexandria. I'm really interested to see, like, can the show successfully pull something like that off? I'm personally pretty skeptical. I would love to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan involved in the show for a very long time because I think he's a really good actor. And we're also just like bleeding out people left and right. It would be nice to have like a couple of familiar faces still in the mix. We haven't even really discussed, you and I at least, like the very real possibility that we could lose Rick this season, right? I mean, like that final image is, it's not good. Mm-hmm. He's bleeding everywhere. It's very bad.
I can't imagine we're going to lose Rick. Do you feel like that's a realistic possibility, Josh?
I don't think it's off the table, no. I mean, you know, in interviews, Andrew Lincoln has talked about how, like, you know, the end game for me, like, there's something in my head for, like, where this could go. And we've talked about this on these podcasts before about how he only does Walking Dead. Like, he doesn't take on any other acting jobs other than Walking Dead when Walking Dead is on. Like, that guy's going to want to get out of here fairly soon. And given the condition of this character and given that these stories have been written and shot before any of like the you know, the Maggie stuff has been going on, I think it's not impossible. I think it's not impossible that we're in the middle of like this really great sea change for The Walking Dead that could involve a future without Rick Grimes. And that could be what we are being like gently braced for by showing us this image of him right now. And the other piece of it too is, I don't think it's a big surprise to say if you're not versed in the comics, but like Rick is the main character.
Yeah.
So he's still in the comics, but Carl is still in the comics. They just killed Carl off. So like the comic books are no longer a roadmap whatsoever for anything going forward with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I think it's as on the table as it's ever been, the possible demise of Rick Grimes.
Let me ask you something else that I saw in YouTube comments as I was watching some Walking Dead YouTube videos, Josh, and I'm sorry, I did not write down this person's name, but I saw a YouTube comment. Somebody had a theory that was, do you think that Carl wrote in his letter to Rick to spare Negan? Do you think that is that potentially how Negan ends up walking away from this?
Yeah, I think that that's totally possible. I mean, we have so I was, you know, doing some writing for THR for some, you know, stories around like Carl's death and like what his final moments with each of these characters may mean for the future of the show. And I went back and I revisited that scene in the mid-season finale between Carl and Negan. And the whole time, like, Negan's like really like mesmerized by Carl's words once Carl is basically saying, like, kill me. If you got to kill somebody, kill me. I don't want to die. But if killing me puts an end to this war, I will happily make that sacrifice. And Negan is like really transfixed in what Carl is saying. And then Carl starts talking about, like, is this really what you wanted? Like, did you really want this to be the life that you were living? Like, did you really want it to be all at war? And then all at war, you know, recommences because there's grenades and everything. And Carl has pulled a fast one on Negan. But I think in that moment, like, you do get the sense that Carl is looking to end all of this violence. He doesn't want it happening anymore. And he especially wants his dad to figure out how to just like be a normal guy who doesn't have to like bury a hatchet into every other face he sees. So I could see that. I think that there's a very good possibility that Carl is going to make some sort of pitch to Negan. I mean, those are Chekhov's letters, right? Like, Carl's dead, but I feel like the you know, continued presence of Carl through those letters, you got to imagine he's going to be all over this season.
Is one of the letters for Negan?
Ooh, that's fun. What would he say? Would he be like, hey, I know that you like it when I sing. Here are the lyrics to my favorite Weird Al songs. Please sing them to the saviors in the future. Weird
Rick,
Negan.
I tell you, I couldn't read one word of this chicken scratch. This kid writes at a second grade level.
That's I'm Just now I'm just imagining like the content of Carl's letters.
He might have just drawn a picture of everybody.
Yeah. Oh, it was like all
number
very
one dad. Yeah.
Yeah. This is me. This is you. This top part of the page is the sky.
Judith was like, I get it. I totally.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this is prolific.
Yes.
That's very mean, but very funny. Very funny. Yeah. God, I hate to laugh at it, but yeah. That's really good.
Josh, can I play you a voicemail?
Of course, please do.
Okay, this is from Jackie.
Hey guys, it's Jackie here, just talking Walking Dead. I hope I'm in time to make the show. And I just had a quick question about Rick and the last scene of the show when he's under the tree and he's talking about his mercy winning out over his wrath. And I'm wondering if he is looking so desolate because he has lost, and he's lost some very important people. And I'm wondering if he chose the wrong Rick, if he should have chose Wrath Rick, and instead he chose Mercy Rick, and he's lost. And he has nothing more to live for, because he's looking pretty sad. Anyway, thanks so much.
How about this, Josh? What if the end game ends up being some sort of a surrender for the Alexandria crew? Is that possible, where when they see Negan, that Negan is actually the boss?
So we're just getting back into that, like we're just getting back to the status quo where the saviors have the Alexandrians by the throat. Like that's just where the future of the show is going. Like that doesn't feel.
But they're all living together under one Carltopia.
Carltopia. Oh my God, this is Carltopia.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I feel like no. I mean, I think more likely to me is like, it's hard for me to see the Alexandria community losing the war just in terms of like conventional story arcs of good versus evil. And The Walking Dead is, you know, conventional oftentimes in this regard. I could see Rick losing his life in support of that war. Like that's the thing I could see. Like I could see Rick winning, you know, killing Negan or whatever, like subduing the saviors and sustaining some sort of injury in the process that takes him out of the equation as well. Like that's easier for me to see than the Alexandrians just like being under the rule of the saviors once again. Feels like it would be a really long way to have gone from like the dark and bleak tone of the first half of season 7 to like this spirit of revolution in the second half of season 7 to full blown revolution in season 8, only for the revolution to fail. And like, we're back to where we started in the first half of season 7. Granted, it's The Walking Dead, so I guess it's not impossible, but that would just feel like we've been really just like yanked around. Mm-hmm. Weird Al yanked around.
Weird Al yanked around. Okay. We got a lot of questions about Sadiq, Josh. People want to talk about Sadiq. He definitely.
Yeah, safest character on The Walking Dead, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Wow. Number one. Why?
I mean, that's a stretch.
He works
stretch,
cheap.
But works cheap. And not that he can't die ever, but I feel like after, you know, Carl has died in service of saving this guy. And on top of that, the writers like very wisely make Sadiq a doctor just in the moment where like we really need some doctors in our crew.
Yeah.
Like it feels to me like Sadiq is going to be here for a minute.
Yeah. Well, that's what Jessica Frey wants to know. She wants to know, Sadiq, was he brought on the show to deliver Maggie's baby if Maggie ever delivers because the show conveniently needs a doctor?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's the other doctor. Dr. Carson is still in the mix. And I mean, the other
doctor.
He's
in major jeopardy now.
Yeah, I'm really trying to remember exactly where he was. It was like him and Eugene and Father Gabriel are going to drive to the hilltop, right? Didn't Eugene like finally decide like, screw this, I'm going to totally rebel. I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering it right. So, you know, does the question that I would wonder is like, now that we know that Sadiq is a doctor, does that like spell doom for Dr. Carson? Or are we going to have two doctors? Are we going to have a surplus of doctors?
Mm-hmm. No surplus of doctors. There can only be one doctor on The Walking Dead. That's a rule.
Remember that doctor from the Grady Hospital in Atlanta? Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
I think he stayed there, right?
Yeah, he just stayed.
He just stayed there. Yeah. I mean, you think that we'll ever run into the people from the hospital at some point?
Please. Please, no. Please, God, no. No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, please, no. That would not be great.
Okay. No, it would not. All right. So we got some questions about the welfare of Sadiq. You said he's the safest character on the show, but Dominic wants to know that if Rick doesn't find out that Sadiq was a resident pre-apocalypse, does Rick immediately kill Sadiq as soon as Carl dies? I feel like that's the only thing keeping Sadiq alive right now.
I wonder what that relationship is going to be like. Like, is Sadiq going to want to be like, so can you tell me more about Carl and Rick? So like, Sadiq, don't. Mm-hmm. Do not talk to me right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Like, is he going to see Sadiq potentially as like a surrogate son? Is that a dynamic that could exist between these two characters? I think that would be really nice. Hard to say. Really hard to say. So many question marks in terms of what Rick's relationships are going to be like with everybody. Who Sadiq is going to start palling around with. Like, my guess is, like, he's probably going to hang out with, like, the Tara crew, right? Like, that feels like a natural fit for Sadiq.
Right. He's, like, hanging out with, like, the JV squad.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think he's, like, he's going to be in the second tier. He'll be B squad.
Hangs out
B
with, like, Aaron and Enid and that whole crew.
And no offense to these guys. They're great characters in their own right, but exactly. That being said, we're losing so many characters. Like, the B squad swiftly becoming the A squad. At least the B-plus squad, you know? Yeah. Soon it's going to be all B-pluses on The Walking Dead, speaking of, you know, adults acting on a second-grade level.
Right, it's a real Grey's Anatomy thing going on, and we're not talking about what Morgan pulls out of people's midsection.
That was so gross. That was so gross.
Yeah. Really would have been funny if when Rick asked Sadiq, so what was it that you did for a living? And Sadiq was like, I was a landscaper. It's like, I will kill you.
After you renovate Alexandria, which has just been blown.
Okay, we actually do need a landscaper. Okay, well, I take it back. Sadiq's got great hair.
Great hair. I like Sadiq. I think Sadiq has potential. I think he seems very serious right now, which is, you know, fair considering everything that he has just endured. And that he doesn't know anybody yet. I'm looking forward to like some Sadiq stand up. I think would be nice.
Like jokes.
Just like some levity. I think would be great. And some doctor jokes. I think would be good. Maybe he'll be like the Dr. Mike of The Walking Dead.
Hey Rick, did I tell you I did my residency in urology? Yeah. That's how I know I can tell that Negan is a real no.
Dr. Sadiq Urology.
Yeah. So if you're having problems with your Sadiq, come see me. Did Sadiq at least get the plastic bag?
Did he get the plastic? I don't want to touch any of this.
All right.
Get me out of here.
All right. Cool. On that note, Josh, let's wrap things up. Okay. So very fun to get to catch up with you. Oh, it's Talking Dead. Let's just real quick on the Talking Dead.
Talking Dead. How was Talking Dead?
Talking Dead, I feel like it's too morbid
great
of an
reaction.
Affair when a character dies. When a major character dies, the Talking Dead just goes into sitting Shiva. And I know that there's so many people.
And Shiva's already been gone for episodes.
Yeah, I know so many people like, you know, love the show, live and die with the show. You know, that's like, you know, the only show they care about. There's a lot of people like that. They think of these characters like people, and we're a bit more tongue in cheek. You know, we love the show, but, you know, we're not, you know, deadly serious about it. But, you know, they only have one gear of, you know, Chris Hardwick opens the show like, you know, oh my God, I can't believe that Carl's gone. What are we going to do? I can't believe it. It's terrible. And of course, Chandler Riggs was there. Greg Nicotero was there. So it just was way too serious for my liking on The Talking Dead.
Any via satellite appearances? Did
no,
anyone
it was
beam
all,
in to the couch?
It was all Chandler Riggs and Chris Hardwick's like, yeah, but, you know, we could still hang out. And I was like, I don't think that Chris Hardwick is ever going to hang out with Chandler Riggs. Am I allowed to say that?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, it's that kind of thing where, like, you're in high school and you're going off to college. You're like, we're all going to hang out. Right. Like, you know, I know that, like, we didn't hang out a ton in high school, but I'll see you again. Like, I'll totally see you again.
But that's okay, because we can still hang out.
Never see them again. Yeah. You never see them again. Sorry. Sorry to anyone who's, like, listening to this and is about to ship out to college. Like, I'm still friends with a lot of my high school people.
I'm not. Yeah. I probably will never talk to any of them ever again. Yeah. And then they also like checked in with the cast, and the cast was like, you know, the different people were like talking about like, oh my God, you were the best to work with. And they even got to, they got a hold of Pollyanna McIntosh. She's like, oh, you know, Chandler is the best guy, is the best guy. It's like, no, nobody.
Chan, good actor.
Yes. Nobody asked you, Jadis, what you think.
Carl, favorite character.
But I just wanted to mention Jadis because something...
Carl, me like.
Something happened, Josh, where over the break, over the Walking Dead break, I went to my P.O. box one day and I opened it up, and sometimes people will send stuff to the P.O. box and it's all sorts of... So lots of weird stuff comes in. And I opened up a package one day and I said, so that somebody had sent me a photo from Canvas People, a sponsor of Post Show Recaps and Rob is a podcast. And I opened it up and I got a Canvas People photo of Jadis in the junkyard building one of her sculptures from one of our listeners. Yes. And it was over Christmas time, and in my haste I ended up losing the envelope. I never got to thank the person that sent it. So if you're listening to this podcast and you sent me a Canvas People, and I hung it up here in the studio, a Canvas People of Jadis working on a trash sculpture, I want to thank you. So please just get a hold of me and let me know. And I apologize about losing the address information.
Ideally with some proof that it was you. Otherwise, just like everyone's going to like cabin douche is definitely claiming that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Canvas douche.
Canvas douche.
Can you take a picture of yourself with the picture of the Jadis picture?
Yeah.
I want to see it. I want to see it. Can you post it in the show notes here on PostShowRecap.com?
You got it. You got it.
Fantastic. Oh, that's spectacular. Okay. I'm jealous. That sounds fun.
Yes. Okay. So, Josh, great stuff. Of course, if you want to go ahead and follow along with our Game of Thrones rewatch, if your mercy is greater than your wrath, you can find those episodes also on postshowrecaps.com and follow Josh Wigler at The Hollywood Reporter. He is at Round Howard.
That's me.
Yes. Anything else, Josh?
Anything else? No. Game of Thrones is underway. You and I are officially in Survivor season as this podcast is coming out. So the Wiggle Room is coming back. Lots of podcasting between you and I right now, Rob.
Okay. Very exciting stuff. I'll be back with Jessica Lease. We will record on Sunday night this week and have that podcast up for you guys by Monday morning. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.